Go ahead.
Side two. Okay. We have been talking about the rise in the education with the influx of Jews, with the Russians that came to Pittsburgh. And I wondered if we were starting to talk about any special reaction of the first wave of Russians as opposed to the current wave.
Yeah, I found that from what I've seen, the the wave of Russians that came about 15 years ago, I think were primarily more of a blue-collar variety. And as soon as they became independent, they flew the coop, so to speak, and divorced themselves from the Jewish community. And the more recent wave have been a much more educated group, also much more interested in continuing what they've started. And I think that we can expect to see some of them really remain within the Jewish fold. I don't know what's happened to the hundreds that were here 15 years ago. Most of them have gone suburbia and have just sought privacy, and maybe that's what they needed after the lives that they had in Russia.
I would like to explore also an aspect of your background that is a little unusual from mine, since I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. Tell me how your family originally got to Palestine. Do you have any idea of dates and times? And
well, my mother was a first generation Palestinian. Her father had come from Poland, but my father was already a fourth generation Jerusalemite. His great grandfather in the mid 1800s was the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. He was the chief rabbi for 70 years. And he was a noted scholar. As a matter of fact, now when we go to Israel, there are, you know, everyone is so proud of how many generations that they've been there. They're up to the eighth generation now. Had I been born in Israel, I would have been fifth, and now they're already the eighth generation. And what happened was, my father was a yeshiva boy. He and my mother were married, and he continued learning in the yeshiva for another year, I believe. And at that time was World War I, and Palestine was under Turkish rule. And they were beginning to draft yeshiva boys, and nobody wanted to fight, A, and B, they certainly didn't want to fight against the Allies. And so my father was smuggled out and came to America illegally under an assumed name. And it wasn't until much later that he was, he officially became an American citizen. He had to unscramble all that, the false identity, etc. And I'm sure when they first came, their intention was to go back. But life in Israel was so difficult. My father felt it was more important for him to stay here and support the family there. And I remember that every week a check went out to Palestine. It was a routine that we knew this had to go in the mail, they had to get there. Of course, the people who are in Israel today felt that was the wrong thing to do. They should have come back and been together as a family. There's a very large group there now. Excuse me. And but my father came here, became very active as a as an American Orthodox Zionist. He was a businessman, but devoted all of his time to synagogue, to learning, and to working for Israel. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of work for JNF and Mizrahi. And made sure that we all went to school. At that time, the only thing you could do was go to Hebrew school. I mean, there was no day school there. And we all went through all went through elementary Hebrew school, went to Hebrew college and to Hebrew high school and Hebrew college. So that as I was getting my my degree from Boston University, I also got a degree in Hebrew education at the Hebrew Teachers College there.
And your mother was born in Israel also?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is her family also from Poland?
Her family was the one from Poland. My father's was the one four generations right. back mm-hmm. that had come over from Poland.
I see. Mm-hmm. Did your parents speak Hebrew at home?
No. Interestingly enough, they both were conversant in Hebrew. I wish they had.
It would have been easier for you, I'm
right,
sure.
Right, right. They spoke Yiddish, and mm-hmm. I had a brother who passed away, unfortunately, a few years ago, and I have a sister who is not too well now. My sister knew more Yiddish, my brother a little less, and I could just answer in English by the time mm-hmm. it came to me. I could understand what was being said to me, but it never answered. I never spoke in Yiddish. But we knew Hebrew was there. It was an integral part of our lives all the time. It wasn't until I began teaching that I really began talking Hebrew.
When your parents lived in Israel, of course, they spoke Hebrew, or
yes.
did they speak Yiddish?
I think it was a combination.
But Hebrew, you're going back so many years, Hebrew wasn't the language.
I know, that's why.
Right.
It's interesting.
But they were conversant in Hebrew. My father mm-hmm. wrote Hebrew very well, very well. As a matter of fact, my mother learned in Hebrew. Her teacher was a blind Rebbetzin.
Hmm.
And this Rebbetzin knew, you know, Rabbi's wife, this Rebbetzin knew everything by heart and taught that way. Can you imagine?
Mm.
Because they certainly didn't
have
Braille.
No. Is there Hebrew Braille today?
Yes.
Okay. I never thought about it before.
A lot of the transcribing of the mm-hmm. prayers and the Bible have been done by volunteer women.
Mm-hmm.
I think from National Council.
Hmm.
I know it was done in Boston. And my sister did it. Had to learn the Braille, and you know, it's very, very.
Well, Rite of Sholem has a big Braille group.
Now
yes.
they do transliteration.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. But I know that the we have twins in our synagogue, blind, Cain sisters, and they come with their huge books. One is a siddur, and they also have a Bible. And they've provided them with some kind of a shelf to hold it on,
mm-hmm.
and you can just see them praying along with everything. It's beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much at home, very comfortable.
So your father was the only one of his siblings
yeah.
who came to this
yes,
country then.
Yes.
How many siblings did each
did he
parent
have?
Have?
Oh, my mother had four others, and my father had three. And they were very, very close. The correspondence between my father and his brother, particularly, he had a brother and two sisters, particularly, was weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle, who was the state cantor, he was the cantor for all the formal functions once the state was established. My uncle would write a letter to my father saying, I walked down Ben Yehuda today and I met Chaim Shmerl, for example, and he'd give him a whole history. Wanted to keep my father au courant of what was going on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he'd say, you remember Chaim Shmerl? He was so-and-so's son and so-and-so's brother and then he would write long letters in detail about what was going on in Israel. And my father would just write, you know, we're all fine. He didn't feel that there was that much to write. My uncle was very upset that he didn't fill him in on all the details of what was going on in our lives.
After the State of Israel was formed, did your father then express any urge to go back or beyond the visit?
No, because the children were all here.
Mm-hmm.
48, I was already married. And
you were the youngest.
And I was the youngest,
mm-hmm.
right? Right. So it was, it's like a tug of war, you
sure.
know. But they did get back and visit, and then Israel, some of our Israeli relatives came to America as well. Modern travel.
Yeah. It is truly amazing.
Yes.
As I dialed my brother this week on the phone.
Yeah.
Put in the numbers and there he is, like,
yeah,
I'm talking to you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's
too easy sometimes.
I guess, that's true.
Well, there's going to be no written history pretty soon.
True.
There's going to be
people don't know how to write anymore.
That's true.
Well, but there's going to be no history because it's all over the airwaves.
Right.
Did you, is your family in Israel still Orthodox?
Yeah.
Or are they more
No. My father's family, I would say 2/3 are extremely Orthodox. And the maybe 1/3 are centrists, and some of them are non-observant completely. But the majority are observant.
Are they Orthodox enough to resent the state of Israel? I mean, are they part of that?
I would say some of them, a few of them, just a few, don't recognize
the Messiah
state.
Has not come.
Yeah. We don't discuss it.
It's easy, right?
It's not very comfortable. I think that they were shocked that people were in America were observant. I don't know what they expected before they met us the first time. And the first time we went, Donald and I went, was in 1951. And we went there with the idea that maybe we would make Aliyah. At that time we had 2 children. And they were very young. We figured either we do it now,
right,
or the kids get started, it would be too difficult. And but it was difficult for us. We spent 7 weeks there then, and looked around to see what could Donald do, because I could have gone to teach if I wanted to. And they didn't need people of this caliber. At that time, they needed hard hats and people that could...
Physical workers.
Physically build the land.
Mm-hmm.
And we returned, and somehow or other, we never picked it up again. My children, our oldest daughter, older daughter, really wanted to make Aliyah. But she too married someone who spends a lot of time in Israel, spends a lot of time in America. They have business in both places. But the overwhelming majority of his year is in America, so it would make it rather difficult. But I think my grandchildren are going to make Aliyah. Several of them.
And continue the generation.
I think so.
Well, their name surely wasn't... your name wasn't Bar.
No. My maiden name was Bard, B-A-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Donald's family was originally Batovsky. And when my mother-in-law married my father-in-law, they were married in America, strangely. She had said that maybe we should change our name before we're married. And so they changed it to Butler. So everybody in the family changed but one brother. One brother stuck to it.
They picked a more Americanized name?
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they said, what kind of a Jewish name is Butler, you know?
Well, I thought about that.
You did.
The grandchildren are showing a propensity for Hebrew, for studying the language?
Oh, they speak very well.
What are the ages of the grandchildren?
My oldest is 24. And the youngest is 5.
And how many are there?
There's a famous answer to that. In fact, it's Dr. Abram Tversky who has given it. Somebody asked him, how many grandchildren do you have? He says, not enough.
I knew you were going to say that.
We have Kanahara 20.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. And all in day schools. The older ones are already in professional schools, but they've been through day school. They've each spent a year in Israel after high school learning, and all conversant in Hebrew. Some more, some less. I guess it depends on the school they go to, what the emphasis is. But they're all comfortable with Eva.
Would you consider the...
And they're great kids.
Of course, and handsome and brilliant.
Of course.
Would you consider the Jewish education in Pittsburgh to be equal to or superior to the education in where your grandchildren are going? Washington or New York or whatever?
I think it depends on the... On the individual school, even in New York, and I often am amazed that I hear people say, "I don't know where I'm going to send my kids. I don't like this school. I don't like that school." I said, "But you have a choice. You know, mm-hmm. there are so many to choose from." But I'd say there may be a deeper concentration in some of the Jewish studies, but it all evens off. It all evens off because my children all went here, and they fit into whatever schools they went to, you know, schools of higher Jewish learning when they continued on. And I think that most of the Pittsburgh graduates fall into the same. I think also it depends on the home and on the mm-hmm. the concentration there too.
There are so many problems affecting the public schools in mm-hmm. the United States and Pittsburgh, of course. We're a little late coming by the gangs and crack, but we've managed to catch up.
Yeah.
Do you foresee any of that coming to the Jewish education? Some of the problems, such as the drug saving.
We hope not. We're not aware of any now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. And we're on the lookout because we've been told what to look for. What reactions, the glaze mm-hmm. of the eyes, and mm-hmm. stuff. But thank God, thus far I haven't heard of any. It doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, but it's not an obvious
no,
kind of a problem.
Nor is it a problem that they're having to mm-hmm. To contend with now.
One of the problems, as I say, my background is public school education,
right.
Was family breakdown, caused by many
sure.
factors. Do you think that the family structure in the day school is stronger? Are there fewer divorces? There are fewer...
You know, I know this isn't a statistic by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that the incidence of divorce is much lower in the day schools that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know of several, but... nothing in any way approaching the statistic, mm-hmm. the national statistic. You know, there's an expression that my mother-in-law started, Donald always says, "Wie es Christelt sich, als er jedelt sich," the way it goes in the general community, so it goes in the Jewish community as well. It may come a little later, but you know, we used to delude ourselves and say, well, Jews and no drunken, no alcoholism and stuff, because we use wine for religious purposes, mm-hmm. for the kiddush and for, you know. But the truth of the matter is, there are alcoholics and
there are abusers.
There are
domestic
abusers,
violence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is the drug problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God we have not seen it in the... I'm not aware of it in either CDS or Yeshiva or Hillel.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I think our biggest mistake as a Jewish population was going around and saying, we don't have this problem.
Yes, yeah, you're right, yeah, right.
And we're part of the population.
Sure we are.
We have all of these problems. In fact, there was that questionnaire last year or something in the Jewish Chronicle about domestic violence that you could mail in. And I mailed it in, and I had people that I could cite that were Jewish
mm-hmm.
girls,
yeah.
you know,
sure,
you know, relatives.
But they didn't answer. They didn't.
Maybe they didn't
yeah,
send
sure
it in, but
right.
I sent it in.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to make sure that when those statistics came out,
I know that I
that
was,
it would show up.
I was very shocked.
Do we have an apartment in the city that for the Orthodox? Domestic violence. They wanted to do that. Did they get it?
This Rachel Lee Sachs is
because I knew they were talking about that.
Yes,
a kosher shelter.
Mm-hmm. Which
is needed.
Well, it's needed, unfortunately. But thank God the need is an exceptional need, you know, it isn't something that is rampant.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I know that our daughter married the a son of a rabbi in Far Rockaway, New York, and he was a very, very well-known rabbi, and he, when they were first married, somehow or other, my son-in-law is a psychologist, and they would say, do you know that there is a kosher retreat in Far Rockaway only for Orthodox women? I was so shocked. You know, I said, you have to be kidding. But it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, and it's still. But of course, New York is a
lot
of
population.
Yeah, right.
It's different and different pressures.
Right, right. Even their speech is fast. Keep telling my grandchildren, slow down. I have old ears. They don't hear fast.
I have New York daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
Do you have ever stop to think that what really is the biggest problem facing Jewish education in the future?
In the future?
Yeah.
I can tell you what I think it is today.
Okay.
I think that the... aside from day school, I think the general population is people your age, a little younger, are a lost generation. Many of them did not receive the proper education. Therefore, as parents, and providing a home environment and the spirit.
I can get a good Jewish education.
Well, there you are.
And I'm going to the Milton School right now.
Are you?
That
oh, that's JEI.
That's,
yes,
right.
The fourth.
But no, I went to Rudolph Scholem.
Well,
and they did a very bad job.
You saw what they wrote in the paper,
yes,
today.
I did.
I'm sure that they were not thrilled.
I wasn't. But I went to Rudolph Scholem too.
Yeah.
I had an excellent Jewish education.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, everything is relative.
Of course.
Everything is relative.
Well, when I was there, and you know, we're talking a 20, and I'm 50,
right.
And you're somewhere
right.
In your 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tell my kids that the confirmation class was 150 kids, and they can't conceive of it, and I only wish I had the confirmation
Donald
book.
Printed, Donald printed the annual,
the shofar.
Shofar?
Yeah. I only wish I could show my kids the proof.
And mm-hmm. he said that the amount, when he first published, the amount of students that were confirmed at Rudolph Scholem years ago
gone down. It's 10 kids last year.
Yeah, I was astounded too.
Yeah.
It was
it's
in a class
shocking.
Of 100.
Okay. And then, of course, I was the baby
boom. I
published
a couple bulletin for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Very close relationship with them. Free now. But, the school has gone down. They know it. They're troubled by it. You're related to Ed Siegel.
Okay, so we were talking about the future of the...
I feel that the fact that we don't have strong Jewish background within the family structure, it makes it very difficult for people to create an atmosphere at home where children have a Jewish environment and know what it's all about. I mean, Friday night was sacred. I did not have Orthodox friends when I was growing up, but every one of my friends had a Friday night. It was the mothers lit candles.
Right,
right.
Sylvia and I share the...
what
we were talking about Friday
family.
Night being
yeah.
sacred in your home.
Naturally, I knew I had it because my parents were observant,
mm-hmm.
but all of my friends knew what is Shabbos, and even though they didn't observe it, they knew that it was a separate day, and that Friday night was sacred. That was one evening they didn't plan activities. They went to movies on Saturday, and I know I used to feel deprived because in those days they used to have the serials,
right?
Like our gang comedy or whatever it was, but it used to be. They would have the cereals, and this is something we never could see because Sunday didn't have the cereals, and then they would come and they'd discuss it, and I felt very much on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the family was much stronger, and even though the parents were not observant, they knew what they were not observing because they themselves had come from Europe, most of them, because we were first generation Americans, and they had observed family life either in the shtetl or in the city, or they had gone to school there, and so they were able to have some kind of a background of knowledge, which the generations today do not have. And no matter how good an education is, if there isn't a carryover at home of some kind, it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. And I know that they give the classic example of the child who comes home and says, I want to marry a non-Jew. And the mother says, how can you do it to me? And he said, where were you 23 years ago? That I should have known, mm-hmm. that this is something that was not the right thing to do. And that's why I think the Jewish education today has a tremendous challenge for the future, because at least people in the last generation had Jewish memories, and we get sentimental about our memories and we try to emulate them or take the good and discard whatever was not pleasant. Today, kids have nothing to relate to, and unless the education is a more vibrant, meaningful, involving one, we can fade away like the Hebrew Institute.
Then it's going to be a gradual erosion,
right?
Rather than the
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the fact that day schools have caught on, the fact that the Reform people are talking about day school, they want to start one in Pittsburgh also, that it means that everyone realizes that a concentrated Jewish education within the confines of a regular, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
within
degree.
The confines of a regular school day, you can't expect kids today, with all the distractions that are offered, you can't expect them to willingly go to school 4 to 6
every day,
every
4 days
day.
A week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is you got the two career family,
oh.
So you've got the problem of the mother, the parents. Getting the kid to the day,
mm-hmm,
to the activity,
mm-hmm,
after school, and the movie Avalon.
I didn't see it.
No, you should rent it.
Really?
They don't bring out. It's okay. We're done. They don't bring out that it's a Jewish family per se in the movie,
mm-hmm,
but it's Barry Levinson, and it is the Jewish family, and they're doing. They don't say their Friday night dinners. And it's basically Thanksgivings that they're eating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read into what he's saying, the demise of the family,
mm-hmm, no question,
was television.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Television. And it starts out with the families eating together, and every Thanksgiving, the family eating together. And at the end of the movie, they're eating frozen turkey dinner on a TV table.
And watching television.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that killed the family.
Yeah.
See, that killed the Jewish, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
what is the family? It's sitting together.
And talking at the table.
And talking. And when you talk about subjects.
That's right.
Okay? And those subjects can be Jewish. It can be anything.
That's right.
But if you don't ever sit and talk,
if you don't, that's
there's
right.
nothing.
If you don't look at each other and look at the
So
the TV
there's
and
no
say,
memory.
That's right. That's exactly right. That, I think, is the big plus and the big question. I remember when I was teaching, I used to invite some students to come be our guests for Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them that if they came from a distance, I would request that they stay over. Well, it's very, very difficult for a kid to imagine sleeping over in a teacher's house, you know. And you mean you don't use the phone? No television? No. What do you do? You know, that it was a foreign,
mm-hmm,
concept to them.
You're talking about a Jewish day school student.
Right. No. This is
no,
when
this
I was teaching.
Oh,
I had
oh.
the afternoon. And it was a